Welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Shows. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Along with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, we have an action-packed show for the next hour and talk about a lot of wins for the Northwest Missouri State Fall Sports Programs as everyone got off to a very good start here in the past week.
Yeah, for Northwest Missouri State Sports, 9-0 on the week. Whenever you go through and think about four wins for volleyball, one for the Bearcat football team, a couple for soccer, also cross-country men's and women's picking up W's as well. So across the board, this is a big week for Northwest Missouri State Sports. You want to come out and kind of grab everyone's attention in that first week right after the pandemic and everything that last year represented. Well, Northwest Missouri State did it in a big way, too, when you think about everything that went into it. I mean, I know we were there firsthand for that knockdown, drag out, gritty battle in Hayes, Kansas for Bearcat football. I think that was a great win for Northwest to start off the season there. I mean, volleyball going out, not only going 4-0, but they also beat the fifth-ranked team in the country in Tampa. I mean, they're a perennial contender there, so that's huge for them. 2-0 for Northwest soccer, and Mark Gordon, he has them heading in the right direction. Of course, cross-country, doing it on their home course, and thinking about Friday was pretty wet. I mean, that was not an easy course to run on when it was dry. You throw in that on top of it, too, so Northwest Missouri State really came out and did well. And now today, a chance for golf to get things going as well. They're in the Central Region Preview in Blue Springs, Missouri today. So a chance for them to get going in the right direction, too. So an exciting week, and you kind of hope that's foreshadowing for what we have the next few months.
Oh, you certainly do. And I think, too, what makes it so exciting is just from the standpoint – we've had to wait so long for a lot of these athletes to compete. Obviously, for football, they missed their entire season last year. For volleyball and some other sports, they had a spring season, but just wasn't quite the same. I mean, it was a competition, but nothing like getting into your normal fall schedule and games and matches that really count. So it just seems like everyone took advantage of the fact they had a chance to go out and compete and did well.
Yeah, I think 100%. And you think about football and volleyball specifically heading into this year, the expectations were very high. I mean, they're always that high for football, and volleyball's come on so strong these last few years that being able to go out and putting away any nerves, not having any butterflies, and just going out and being able to execute. Of course, for football, you see it's been more than 600 days since they had played in an actual, you know, 60-minute football game. I think there are things probably the coaching staff sees that says, you know, if it's a normal year, you don't see this. It's also week one. There's a few things like that will happen. But, yeah, they came out and both volleyball and football really attacked right away and started off on the right foot. And so it'll be fun to see as things go along. Of course, volleyball on the road in Springfield, Illinois, coming up a little bit later on this week. Football we had hoped to see play at home for the first time. That'll get pushed back just a little bit due to some COVID concerns for Lincoln. But nonetheless, still a great week to start off.
That it certainly is. And I think, too, when you look at football, the thing that really stands out to me just for both of the teams, Northwest and Fort Hays State, that it's been so long since they've had a chance to compete, just the fact that there weren't any of the silly penalties that you see in a game one type of contest. You had a few here and there, but they were not the mental type of mistakes you see. They were just some things of players trying to compete and do well that they got called for. But again, the fundamental things that the coaching staff stresses throughout fall camp, you didn't see any of those type of mistakes.
No, not really an overabundance of those procedure penalties. I feel like the majority of the penalties that came in the game, which again, there weren't that many, came after halftime. I mean, the first two quarters were pretty clean. I think they had like three combined heading into halftime. So I think, again, that's a tip of the cap to Coach Wright and Coach Brown for Fort Hays for what they do and what they bring to that program of, hey, not just, oh, let's go out here and do our best and compete, but it's a disciplined type of football that they bring to the table. So that was a battle there in Hayes, Kansas on Thursday night, and I expect to see those two teams atop the MIAA once we roll around to week 11.
Very big defensive battle, a 15-7 win for Northwest in football, and Mike Hoensey really came to play as a punter. He had a couple punts on the one-yard line, another 73-yard punt, and even played a little bit of quarterback on a couple of times out there with some snaps. So he did a lot of things well, and he was this week's special teams player of the week.
Yeah, and I think Mike Hoensey comes in Northwest Missouri State, and people do kind of look at him like, all right, what is he going to bring to the table as a quarterback, as a thrower, as a runner, that sort of thing, to see him be able to come out and swing that leg quite like that, where he had a couple punts that went out at the one. I think he had four punts that ended up inside the 20-yard line. He boomed a 73-yarder. I mean, Mike had a fantastic opening week there. Again, you hope you don't have to use them as much, but again, it's the first week. Things aren't clicking offensively quite the way you would hope to, and you're going against a really good defense. But the way he was able to come out and help flip the field and give that defense a boost, I mean, the first 2 points of the game, credit that to Mike Cohensey as much as the defense, because he got that one downed at the one-yard line, and then, bam, Sam Phillips in the backfield gets the tackle and a safety.
Bearcats with the win in football, as you mentioned, volleyball. With their wins over the weekend, they moved to number 8 nationally in the top 25 poll.
In their highest ranking ever in program history after coming in preseason ranked for the first time ever in program history. So I think he went in and thought, you know what, if the Bearcats win 3 of 4 to start this season, I think that's fantastic. Because Ashland's a good program, or excuse me, Augustana's a good program. Ashland and Illinois Springfield are doing their best to be up-and-coming programs at the same time. But number 5, Tampa, they've got All-Americans on that side of the ball. You know that they're a very good program, and they're the host. And that's going to be difficult across the board. And for Northwest, down 14-8 in the fifth set. 6 straight points to push that one a little bit deeper and ended up winning at 17-15 in the fifth set. I mean, that's a huge win. I think this is a program that knows they're good, but that kind of sends a message to the rest of the conference and the rest of the country that the Bearcats and what they did in the spring at 14-3, it wasn't a mirage. I mean, this team is for real.
And we'll talk more volleyball as our program continues here this afternoon from Pizza Ranch. Again, it's the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We got a lot coming up, and we'll be back and have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911, or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And we're back in Pizza Ranch, the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, as we are getting things rolling. Fall sports kicked off last week. We saw Northwest Missouri State Cross Country with the Bearcat open on Friday. It was wet. It was damp. It's already a difficult course, but here we are with Brandon Masters and Coach. Both teams pick up a win. I mean, at this point, I mean, you can't lose as a cross-country coach.
Apparently. You know, undefeated, right? Yeah, the kids came out on a course, you know, fortunately it was fairly cool comparative to past years, but super humid, you know, wet in a couple of areas. And of course, that course is extremely difficult, technical, and it's, you know, we knew it was a small meet, a rust buster, like we talked. But, you know, when St. Mary's coming, the fantastic program in the NAI ranks, always ranked in the top 5, fantastic group. We knew we had our hands full. They come rolling in with 25 dudes and, you know, and a lot of women. So it was nice to have them there to push our kids, and we were fortunate enough to run well and take the victory on both sides, men and women.
Is that one where you come out and you're like, all right, we know we got rain earlier today, and the runners are circling certain parts of the course and say, all right, we get to this point, we have to watch out for this, dodge that, and just knowing your course a little bit better than the visitors?
Yeah, you know, there's one spot in particular that when we get rain, it does get soft, and we try to prep it so it's safety-wise we're good to go. And but the kids do know the course. They train out there, and really, the course dried up pretty nicely by the time we ran at 6 o'clock, and it actually ended up being pretty good, although really, really muggy.
Whenever you have it, and you mentioned St. Mary's and what they're bringing, but also just fewer teams in a meet like that in the Rust Buster, is it harder mentally going into something like that of being able to look up and say, I know exactly where I am in the field, there are fewer people to pass as you come down to a stretch if you have a kick? Is it just a different game mentally in a race like that?
Yeah, it is. The biggest part, I got this from a couple of kids post-race conversations about, you know, I passed the people and I was in no man's land. I mean, so many people, when there's so few people in a race, it's very difficult, one, to win that race because the scoring everybody's a little bit closer together. On scoring, but the problem is you find yourself not running with anybody in the latter half of the race. Jake Norris in particular had a great race, but the person ahead of him was so far ahead of him, he couldn't challenge him to run with them, you know, and he was off the back of those guys, but ahead of everybody else. So it makes it difficult to try to compete at the end of the race when nobody's beside you.
We talked about Amber Owens, Caroline Cunningham. Those two finished 2-3 respectively in the women's side of things. They kind of set the tone, kind of the way you expected them to in a race like this?
Exactly. You know, I think both of them had solid races. Amber's traditionally a little bit more conservative and is a very good racer. Caroline went out and pushed it a little bit, found out there, you know, a line, and it hurt her a little bit at the end, and Amber ended up passing her. But it's important to in these first few races to really kind of test your fitness, be okay. It's okay to fail in some of these and know where you're at. And I think the kids got a really good opportunity to do, test the boundaries, have some fun, no pressure, which is really nice. We don't have a win-loss record, even though we're 2-0. We don't really have a win-loss record. So it's the team that you bring to the conference and regional and national meet that matters. So right now we have to learn who we are as a team and try to figure out where each individual is fitness-wise.
Three more freshmen finishing in the top nine with Northwest Missouri State: Kaylee Harp, Tori Castle, Emily Saulfeld. Is that one of those of, again, it's early, there are fewer people in a smaller meet like this, but build up a little bit of confidence for them and just kind of establish the baseline for where they're at here in the first meet?
Yeah, exactly. We're real proud of how the ladies responded, being younger. And I mean, they had a year last year, so technically they're, you know, sophomores academically, but they've kind of been through. But this is their first real cross-country season. And so seeing them come in and finish one where they did, but the times they ran, you know, we already talked about there's not a lot of individuals in the race. You know, there might be 300 at another race. This was definitely not one of those. But to have the girls finish where they did, but also the times in which they did it on the course in which they did it, is really, really good. And Lena wasn't there. She kind of banged up her ankle a little bit, so we held her out. And she'd be one of those ladies right with those three as well. So we're really pleased with how they come along. And we're going to count a lot on underclassmen. We're not a deep team. We don't have 15, 20 people that we're going to run in each race. So you kind of count on the kids that we do have. And although not deep, we are talented.
And that's one of those, too, that even if you suffer some bumps on the road and some of the growing pains throughout, whether it's the first meet of the season or going up to Lincoln in a couple weeks, that's one of those you're going to see freshmen grow so much that when they become sophomores or essentially juniors at that point, too, I mean, they're going to be skyrocketing, I would think, at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't lose anybody. You know, we're young on the ladies' side. And so it's important that they understand it's okay. Again, it's okay to fail. Go try to find out who you are as a runner. We're going up to Woody Greeno and Lincoln, running some really good teams. Be a lot more people in the race. It ought to be really fun to be able to have them try to push, run with someone else. You know, hopefully there'll be a few more people on the course so they can run with someone from another team and then be competitive late.
You mentioned Jake Norris a little bit ago, and the men finished 2, 3, 4, 5 in the top 10 overall. Does the men's team kind of grade out the way you hope for?
Yeah, we saw exactly what I thought we'd see. You know, the kids competed. Again, we got guys that are, you know, maybe shouldn't have gone out quite so hot, maybe should try to run together the first couple of K and then compete after that as a team. So we're trying to figure out who we are as a team and what do we need to do to move forward. We, on the men's side, we are upperclassmen heavy. We are experience laden. That team is really good, deep team that knows how to race. So we feel like, again, Woody Greeno, there's no pressure. It's not like if we lose, our season is over. You know, it's a chance to go out there and compete again and find out who we are. And I think that meet, you know, not this Saturday but the next, will be really good for our team and really kind of figure out who we are. yeah, again, St. Mary's really good, and I think they're ranked in the top five nationally in preseason poll. They're really good, and so to come out and beat them is important, a good motivator for our kids, knowing that they've done a good summer of training.
At this point, when you look ahead to Lincoln, it's 11 days away. Is it about maintaining and staying healthy? I assume there's not a whole lot you can jump within 11 days.
Yeah, you know, beginning of the season, again, track and field is differently from most sports because we don't have that win-loss record. We have to be great when it counts, and counting is MIAA, the regional and national meet. And so with our girls, we're going to focus on conference and regionals to kind of be our best so we can try to make that national berth. On the men's side, we will be solid in conference and kind of peeking up for that conference regional and then the national meet, because I think we'll have a chance to do something, you know, at each of those levels. It really, we train through this stuff, right? The beginning of the year is all about let's use this as a hard effort practice with other people on in our practice, honestly. And if you take that mindset, likely the kids will be a little less nervous and be able to focus on just competing.
Awesome, Coach. Well, we appreciate it. Congratulations on the opening week for cross country. And again, 11 days and back in action up in Lincoln, the Woody Greeno Invitational coming up on September 18th.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Brandon Masters, Northwest Missouri State Head Cross Country and Track and Field Coach, joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a timeout and be back with more from Pizza Ranch.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at rogersrx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. Time now to talk football with head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, our discussion today, a little bit different than what we thought it would be, just due to news that came out Sunday afternoon about Lincoln University and COVID-19 protocols and no game coming up this Thursday.
Yeah, you know, it was frustrating. Got a call from my athletic director Sunday afternoon. Early afternoon, was getting ready to go to practice. For us, it was a Tuesday, which probably isn't going to make sense to anybody else. But, yeah, it's our Tuesday practice, so it was. We were all scheduled. We were ready to get after it and got the phone call from Lincoln that they had an issue in the offensive line and they were only going to have three offensive linemen available for the game, and they couldn't play. So within an hour, I had to kind of figure out what we were going to do. Met with the team at 2 o'clock. Kind of gave them our plan moving forward and just, you know, is what it is. So we just have to spin it positive and make our program better this week and just move forward getting ready for Central Missouri.
Well, one of the downsides to this just deals from the fact it takes away a home game in a season where you don't have a whole lot of home games on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, we only have five, and that really stinks. We talked about trying to find a game, but, you know, shoot, we have enough problems. You know, during the COVID year, I tried to do that, and I couldn't find any 1AA teams to play us, much less Division II teams. And it was already Sunday. By the time we could have, even if we could have found somebody, which we didn't think was very likely, we'd already be into what should be a prep week. And so I didn't want to penalize our team going into Central to do that. So, yeah, we're just practicing. We've got practice this afternoon, practice Wednesday afternoon. We're going to have an inter-squad scrimmage on Thursday to kind of, you know, play in lieu of the game and then give those guys the weekend, and then jump back on a normal Saturday schedule and get ready for Central.
Now, going into that, going into the matchup with Lincoln, you'd go in as a pretty strong favorite to win that particular game. But what are some of the things that you're going to miss by not playing that game, despite the fact that it should be a pretty easy game win for you?
Yeah, you know, honestly, looking at it, you know, in terms of developing, you know, it was an opportunity for us to play a lot of our younger kids. I mean, you know, that's one of those games that if we take care of things, our starters should be out by halftime. You're allowing your twos and your threes and your depth to get actual game time in a home stadium. You know, we have so many kids on our roster that have never played college football before. It's an opportunity to get them in the game and see how they execute. Yeah, it's disappointing, but you know, I can't dwell on what we don't have. I got to, you know, kind of turn my focus into what we do have. And, you know, the way that I spun it to the kids is exactly what I feel. I mean, we're going to get a better look against ourselves this week than we probably would have against Lincoln. So we're going to get after it in practice this week. And we're going to do some live segments. We're going to do some heavy contact. We're going to treat this like it was a game week or as close as we can get to it. So we're going to put my staff and I sat down and figured out what Thursday's scrimmage is going to look like. We put a pitch count on our first team on both sides about what we thought we'd play in a first half against Lincoln, and we're going to go. And then we'll play the twos and threes some more just to get a sense of kind of where that is. But, you know, that's the best I can do.
As far as preparing for Central Missouri, to give you what's the advantages now of kind of focusing your attention a little bit, too, on scouting as far as UCM?
It's an advantage, no doubt about it. You know, so we have a little bit of a disadvantage in the sense that we don't get to play a game. And, you know, typically in the past we've had bye weeks before, but they're at the end of the season when you've really kind of established yourself. Again, we haven't played for 2 years, and so we've had one game, and now we're off again, but we can't change it. So there's the disadvantage part. The advantage part is now, you know, obviously we have film on their game from Washburn. We get a chance to start preparing. Our kids are going to become very familiar with our game plan and what we want to try and do, and just move on from there.
Let's go back to last Thursday, a win for Northwest, opening up the season with Florida State, 15-7, the victory in that one. And a lot of things that I think came out of that you have to feel pretty good about.
Yeah, you know, for, you know, playing against, you know, and you watched it over the weekend, playing against a good quality opponent, whether it was, you know, the Clemson-Georgia game or any of the rest of those games that were on all weekend long, Notre Dame-Florida State, to go on the road in a tough environment against a quality football team and come away with a win, you always feel good about. Were there things that we could have done better? Obviously. You know, a little bit of that is week one, but felt great about our running game, felt really good about the offensive line and the way they did that. Threw for more yards than what we would have liked on defense, but, you know, at the end of the day, he was 16 for 42, and, you know, we basically deleted their run game. We played the field position game really well. Our special teams, I thought, really played at a high level, particularly Mike Owensy, who was the special teams player of the week this week. And, you know, so there's a lot of good things to take from it, and we got to correct the mistakes.
Talk about Mike Owensy. He really set things up early with that punt down to the one-yard line, and then defense came out one play, stuffed them for safety, and kind of let the tide at that particular point defensively kind of got your feet on the ground and really made a statement there.
Yeah, it really did, and it set up, you know, what we felt like we could do against the run. And, you know, Mike did a phenomenal job of that all game long. I mean, they drove some long fields, and I don't care who you are in college football, your percentages go way down if you've got to drive the ball 80-plus yards. And we always talk about the punter being an extension of our defense, and I think last Thursday was a good indicator of that. Braden came in one time in an offensive set and punted the ball, and he put the ball on the one-yard line. So they had three or four possessions where they're starting inside their five, and that's a huge advantage for your defense.
Not only being able to put it inside the one-yard line such as that, but also a 73-yard punt by Mike.
Yeah, he absolutely boomed that one. I was hoping that was going down at the 1-2, but it ended up being a touchback, so I guess can't have everything I want.
You can always wish for it, though.
Absolutely.
As far as offense, too, you talked about really getting set up for the run game. Boy, Al McKellar made a nice statement in his first game as a Bearcat.
Yeah, he did. He runs. He's a physical runner. He's faster than people think. He can make you miss, but he can also run over the top of you, and he did it several times. He had a very productive game and a good start as a Bearcat. We're excited about him. Again, I felt like our running game was really good. The passing game, not quite so much. But honestly, after talking with Coach Sturdy a little bit, he was like, we were rattling off so many chunk plays in the running game. I kind of, you know, pulled the reins back on Braden a little bit and just let us see if we could wear him out. And, you know, our offense was very productive in the sense that they only had 1 3-and-out all day. And, you know, they were able to move the football even when they weren't scoring points. They were changing field position for us, and that's a good thing. And so, you know, we were all excited to kind of get the passing game going this week, but we're going to have to do it in practice instead of under the lights on Thursday night.
I thought one particular series for the offense that really showed what they can do was late in the ball game, I think just over 6 minutes left, and needed a nice long sustained drive to go down, get a score, and really make things hard for Fort A State in a short period of time on the clock after that, and they were able to do that.
Yeah, they drove the field. They had, like you said, they had the ball for 6 minutes, capped off by Caden Davis's touchdown. You know, and it really, we were an extra point away from the game being over. And then we had a silly penalty and, you know, had the blocked extra point and decided to make things a little interesting for old Coach Wright in the defense for the last series. But, you know, we were able to come away with a win and feel really good about that.
I think we talked about this with you on the postgame show, too. But one of the things that I was struck by, too, for both teams, the fact that you haven't played in essentially 2 years, was just the lack of the penalties that you kind of see in a first game of the year, a lot of offsides and the procedure penalties and a lot of things that we didn't see in that game.
Right. You know, I think that's a tribute to both coaching staffs and, you know, how we stress fundamentals. You know, there weren't a lot of those ignorant penalties, those false starts and offsides and things like that, illegal formations. You know, it was a pretty good, clean game on both sides as far as that was concerned. As far as the play was concerned, you know, after watching the film, it was pretty physical on both sides, particularly in the passing game. You know, so there, you'd say that people got away with a few things in the back end, but at the same time, you know, the bigger games that we play in the MIAA, they're usually going to let you play, and that's what they did.
All right. Well, Coach, good to talk with you here today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Outstanding. I look forward to being back at Pizza Ranch.
All right. That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Rich Wright. We'll be back. Have more for you right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post-frame and all-steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance Agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch, and time now to turn our attention to soccer. And first of all, up first is Mark Gordon, the head coach of the Northwest soccer team. And Mark, boy, you couldn't script a better start to your season, coming up with a couple wins this past weekend.
Yeah, very exciting to get out of the gate with a couple of wins, try and create good habits and see the girls have some success on the field and seeing them just be able to score some goals. So
let's just talk about that first matchup. You went on the road up north to Sioux Falls to face Sioux Falls on Friday evening and came away with a 2-0 win there. And how'd that go for you?
You know, I think the game was fairly open early on. I think we were settling for some pretty long shots. Not that, you know, you don't want to take those opportunities, but it was like six in a row, and we were 25 30 yards out, and just felt like we were a little impatient with our possession. And I think once we settled in and started to drive a little bit further, put some slotted balls into the box, I think it created better chances for us and plays better into what we train and trying to create scoring opportunities for the girls.
Yeah, again, you went on the road for a win there, then an off day, and then back home for a matchup. Normally when you go on the road, again, it's two games on the road, and then you come back and two at home, such as that. But had a little bit of travel to start with, but a chance to recoup just a bit, and then get back on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, we made a day trip of Friday, got back, did some recovery on Saturday. Some changes in their schedule. They wanted to come down here, and we'll always want to play at home if we can, and took that opportunity to have Wayne State on campus. Early on, we took an early lead, and just I think we got a little comfortable and gave them some opportunities, and was kind of back and forth for a little bit, made some adjustments, and really we just started to get on the end of some of the balls that we were putting into the box. The runs were there, the balls were in the right place. It's just a timing thing on a couple of them, and we finally broke through to get those two late goals.
And overall, getting 12 shots on goal has to feel pretty good too, I would imagine too.
Yeah, I feel like we've been much more productive in the last the last two matches. You know, we talked a week ago about getting in, and I think the girls are starting to see tendencies of their teammates and where they're going to put the ball. So some of the folks that we need flying into the box are starting to pick up on that body language and how they're going to play a ball in.
What's the biggest thing that really came out of this past weekend for you?
I think just a little more continuity up top. I think that the girls are starting to believe in what we're doing in training. We're starting to execute a little bit better, and just some of the timing, just goal production. That's how you win goal or games.
And you've got you're here today, Kaylee Rock, a player who had a pretty good weekend for you.
Yeah, very excited to see her starting to put some goals away, giving great opportunities for her teammates. Kaylee is a really dynamic player, and we utilize her in some different parts of the field, typically as a forward, but sometimes we'll tuck her back into the midfield to help us out there.
And Kaylee, it's good to have you with us on the program here. And Kaylee, just tell us a little bit about your development at Northwest, now a sophomore in the program coming from Lee Summit, and some of the things that you've been able to see with this program since you came on campus.
Yeah, I think we've grown a lot since my freshman year. We've gotten a lot of good new players. Marcus Stuhl, a little new here, and he's been giving us so many good new players. My freshman year, we had half people that were brought here by Mark and half brought by Tracy, so it was kind of a different coming ups, and now that we're all pretty much been recruited by Mark, we've been getting in a really good rhythm. We've just been clicking together as a team, and we've been bringing a lot of energy to the team in the last couple of years.
I know you're able to get some games in this past spring, but a little bit of a different atmosphere in it with you come into the fall, and it's more of your traditional type of season here.
Yeah, the spring was great. It was awesome to have games, but it never really felt like a normal season. It didn't really feel like the same kind of energy and momentum that we needed, and then coming into the fall, it kind of really, it finally started to feel real, and we got really excited. It had been about 600 or so days since we'd had a real game, and we finally got our first home game on our new field, and everything's just starting to come together, and it feels really good.
What were some of the things that you learned personally from the spring season that you were able to perhaps work on during the summer and in fall camp to get ready for the opening of this season?
I think that we just being able to get all together in the spring and the summer helped us a lot. We did the same thing that we did our freshman year. We were all here at the beginning of July working together every single day, twice a day, and I think that helped us a lot. We got to work on a lot of things that we struggled with in the spring and in the past fall, and I think just having a lot of practices and practice games really got us prepared for the fall.
Now, Mark, Kaylee talked about having an opportunity to be on the new field for a game that really counts for a lot here. You guys, obviously, had a chance to be on it last spring some, too, but what a difference does it make to have a field such as what you've got right now?
It's just changed everything for us. You know, the planning and preparation of as simple as weekly practice. We're very fortunate that the university was able to to put that in even during the pandemic and make that a better situation for our athletes. And, you know, it's utilized constantly, even outside of the team. I know Campus Rec is using it. There are different folks that reach out to us. So, I mean, the ability to draw people to campus, and like I said, our daily preparation, like we have a pretty set routine now. We're not worried about if it's raining and are we going to be able to get on the pitch or not. So it's been a little more consistency for us.
I think this week can probably be a good indication of that too, from the standpoint we had quite a bit of rain during the week last week. There's a chance that field could have been at best just damp for Sunday, where yes. You just didn't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah, I mean, it was awful warm on Sunday. From warm-up time, preparing for the game, boy, by the time we kicked off, I was like, it's a little bit warmer than I thought it was going to be. So, yeah, that water, it was gone, evaporated, and was gone for sure. So,
of course, the turf holds the heat a little bit better too, doesn't it?
It does, indeed, for sure. Yep.
Does it change a little bit with the type of player you recruit, knowing you've got a turf that's a little faster, or is it just so many players play on that now that where it doesn't make that much difference?
I think the players are pretty much exposed to the turf, and then it's really about the age of the turf and the kind of turf it is. I will say, you know, ours holds up really well. It plays more like grass than anything I've played on in the area in recent years. Time will tell. We'll see how it wears, but right now it's wonderful. It plays very well for us.
Kaylee came to Northwest from Lee Summit North High School. Just talk a bit too about your decision to come to Northwest, the Maryville campus, and things besides just soccer as well. What are some of the things that really drew you to Maryville?
So I went on a couple visits to other schools, and then I came to Northwest on a visit with my dad. I didn't really know what to expect, but I started walking around the campus, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I loved the homey feeling of it. I knew that away from home, it would still feel like home to me, and I loved the Maryville community. I like that it's small, but not too small, but everybody knows everybody. You know, we go to restaurants and we see other athletes. We go just really anywhere, and we're going to see people that we know, and I really loved the idea of that, and it made the decision to come here really easy.
And looking at your bio, a four-year academic letter winner as well, coming in, from an academic standpoint, what are you studying and what do you hope to do?
I'm studying applied health science. I'm not sure what I want to do with that yet, still figuring it out, but I would love to do something possibly with athletes or with kids, just being active and doing something with health.
All right, sounds good. And, Mark, it's probably good to feeling now that you've got the first two games under your belt here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, to come out with a couple of wins, like I said, I can create a momentum and a belief in the girls and the things that we're training. And there's just a lot of positive energy in the team. I mean, even prior to the matches, I think the girls that are here and the process and the culture that they're building, I think is making the difference in the way the program's moving forward.
What's the next steps you want to see this team take between weekend one to weekend two here?
Well, with the two opponents we have coming up, they are regional powerhouses. You know, it's an opportunity to play a recent national champion in Grand Valley State. Mankato's an Elite Eight team. We've had them a few times. Just to understand the athleticism, the speed of the game, and as a coach, you can talk about it. So they have the opportunity to have our team in those matches to see where we stand, and you know, we're going down with the mindset that we're looking for results. So you know, we think that it'll be a great growth opportunity in terms of what it takes to play at that level, and we'll find out how close we are.
All right, well, good to have you with us on the show here this afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. That's Mark Gordon from the Northwest soccer team, along with the player off of his squad, Kaylee Rock. We'll be back. Have more for you on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design centers open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Hey, welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Pizza Ranch here in Maryville. Now talking Northwest Missouri State Volleyball. We have head coach Amy Wirth with us, as well as Jaden Ferguson from the team, and a 4-0 start to the season. I mean, you can't beat that. Plus the sunny skies in Tampa. Overall, great weekend, right, Coach?
Yes. It was a good weekend from the standpoint of being able to show what we were, you know, having that early season measurement, I think, from other teams was great to see. We started off with Augustana, which was a pretty high, you know, Northern Sun team. So right out of the gate, we had to bring what we had right away. And I thought our girls did a great job of just really working hard and putting everything on the floor and letting the results take care of themselves.
Not really for scheduling cupcakes early in the season is what I'm getting.
No, I talked to the Tampa coach about the schedule when we got down there, and he apologized because it was pretty tough out of the gate. But, you know, from the standpoint of some of the other matches that we had that weekend, we had some that we felt like, you know, we handled them pretty easily from that standpoint, from a statistical stats piece. And we had a good mixture, but for sure Tampa and Augustana were two of the best that we played.
Well, taking it 3-1 in that first one against Augustana and opening up a sizable lead in the first set, and they kind of close it, but you still kind of keep them at arm's length, and then
right.
You go through and have to battle back in set two. But just kind of setting the tone for your weekend overall with a team like that, I mean, is that something that was good to lean on, of good win, face a little bit of adversity, something to battle
right.
through?
Right, and I think it really set us up really well for Tampa, because there was just a lot of small runs that they would push back at us and we would push back at them against Tampa. So I think it prepared us because we were going through that with Augustana.
Jaden, going in, and I hate to skip over the other two matches in between, you take those 3-0, but number 5 team in the country, you know it's going to be intense. You're in Tampa. What was that like overall for you kind of going into it? From the player's mindset, you're listed as a sophomore. It's really, though, year 3 for you, so not a young player, but was it easy kind of getting that mindset and just attacking?
I think before we left for Tampa, we didn't want to go 3-1 at the tournament. We wanted to go 4-0. And even in that fifth set, at our last time out, I remember going into the huddle and no one really looked like the game was over. And you could see in everyone's eyes that we were going to win, whether it was, I mean, it was 14-8, and no one looked like we were going to lose. So I think we all just collectively together had the mindset that we were going to win no matter what the score was or whatever the odds were.
Well, yeah, going into it, it's 2 sets to 2. You're down 14-8. I mean, obviously you have to rattle off quite a few points in a row to keep that one alive. It's not an easy task for anybody. Do you compartmentalize? All right, let's make it 14-9. Let's make it 14-10 and slowly get up there. What was the talk like in the huddle?
Yeah, Hannah always does a really good job of focusing everyone and always taking it one point at a time, one side at a time, and she kind of was the leader with that. And at the front row, we were kind of leading everyone together and just being like, all right, just touch the ball so it's an easier ball to pass. Okay, now let's just get a good set. Let's get a ball, a nice tough ball over and in on the other side. And I think we just really took it easy and went point by point instead of thinking it was 14-8 and needing to get all of those points at once.
Is this a match that Northwest Volleyball's really embraced in recent years of it's a top 10 team in the country, it's top 5, and we're just going to go and play our game?
Yeah, I think our
conference gets us ready for something like that. I mean, it's not unusual for us to play a top five team in the country. It's, you know, we're so competitive that I think it kind of has lost its glitz a little bit, glitz and glam, that, you know, it is just another match. We've gone through it before, and we have some veterans players that have, you know, gone to Washburn at Washburn and beat an undefeated team on their court. So there's attributes about us that I think that we've learned over the years that has really helped us in these situations, and it becomes a culture that we basically lean on that learning ability about and just take what has happened in prior years and really move it forward with that culture. So I think they embraced the number five piece. I kind of got them focused on doing our jobs, but also taking care of someone who is number five in the country and someone who's a perennial. You know, they've won three national titles, and why not us? You know, why can't we go in there and do what we do best and show them what we've done in our practices? So that's really where our focus was when we were walking in.
And, Jaden, the mental piece is huge, to be able to have the mindset of it doesn't matter if it's number one or an unranked team that's awful. It doesn't matter. You have to go in and get the win. Conditioning-wise, though, it's your fourth match of the weekend. It's set five. You're battling back down 14-8. At what point do you kind of feel legs and say, all right, they're still there, I can go a little longer?
I mean, all summer long we train with our trainer and we do a lot of conditioning and a lot of lifting. So, I mean, we may have been tired, but we have been through a lot of situations in workouts where we have to kind of persevere and just keep pushing. So, I mean, I never heard once throughout that entire tournament that anybody was tired or their legs were heavy. So I think it was just mentally we were ready to go five sets and do all four games.
As a member of the media, as a fan, it's fun to sit back and say, man, number eight in the country, just beat number five. Northwest Missouri State volleyball's on the rise. How do the Bearcats go and not really think about being ranked or try to go about saying, let's just pretend that we're not ranked, we're just the Bearcats, and it's still kind of us against the world? How does that mentality shift a little bit?
I mean, like Coach said, it's why not us, and that's just kind of a philosophy that our team kind of takes on, and we go in every day at practice, and we compete against each other, and while we're playing six-on-six, you may not know we're teammates because each side wants to win, but at the end of the day, we play as one, which is our theme for this year, and that just kind of carries us throughout. And we kind of block out what else is happening with rankings and numbers and that kind of stuff.
Took the opening set in every match this weekend. How huge is that? Just place a little bit of doubt in the other team.
I think it is good. We need to get better when we start those sets. A lot of the time we're down in those sets, but it just goes to show the fight that we have at the end. So it's awesome that we were able to really take the first set. Especially in Tampa, I think anytime you walk into someone's gym and expect to take something away from them, you have to set a tone that we're here. And I think grinding that first set out 25-23, I think, showed them that we're here and that we're going to compete against them. So it doesn't really surprise me that we took the first set from every single one of our opponents just because of what I've been seeing in practice and how hard we've been competing against each other.
Jaden, whenever you come in, a native of Lincoln, again, a sophomore, but you've been around for a little while now. But was this one of those things of, I'm coming to Northwest to play in matches like this?
Yeah, I mean, coming in, I knew it was a good conference. I knew a lot of volleyball girls from Lincoln and Nebraska that were going to Kearney and Washburn, so I knew it was a tough conference. And, I mean, I wanted to go to a school where I could compete every game, and every game was going to be a huge win. So I think that's part of the reason, like, why I came here.
This week, Grand Valley State and Michigan Tech both coming up on Friday. Those teams are receiving votes. Unranked, though, Purdue University, Northwest, Upper Iowa coming up on Saturday. All right, is it kind of, all right, let's shift this mindset back. It's us against the world. Why not us? And just go in and attack it like you're playing number five Tampa four more times.
I'd say for sure. I mean, we're going in to win all the time, and we just want to do our best. And it's going to keep preparing us for later matches in the season.
And then coming up 10 days from today, I think, yeah, September 17th, against number 10 UCM. That's going to be at home in the Hughes Fieldhouse. First ever match in the Hughes Fieldhouse for Northwest Missouri State volleyball. Feels like it's so far away until we're going to get to see the Bearcats at Maryville.
Sure. It'll be fun. I think from the standpoint of the setup, you know, it's going to be a very original you know, one of a kind kind of setup that we're not going to see very often. So I think it's going to be a special moment for us to be able to be in there and have a gym to play in that's ours and a new sport court. So I think the pride, you know, just is going to be really high from the standpoint of being able to showcase something new.
It's going to be very cool. Chance to get a lot of fans in there, too. That's 10 days from now. You have a few matches to take care of this weekend, though. Northwest with Grand Valley State and Michigan Tech on Friday, Purdue University Northwest, and Upper Iowa coming up on Saturday. Jade and Coach Worth, appreciate the time.
Thank you for having us.
That is Amy Worth, Northwest Missouri State head volleyball coach, and Jaden Ferguson, a sophomore on the Bearcat volleyball team, with us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a break and be back to wrap things up from Pizza Ranch.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior Course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show, as we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Along Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and Ryan Milkey coming over to put on the headset, and will be joining us here in just a second. But, Matt, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we couldn't ask for a better start to the fall sports season than what we've seen here in the past week.
No, Northwest Missouri State Athletics going 9-0 through the opening weekend and really setting the tone for what this fall semester is going to be, I think, as we kind of get a little bit deeper and deeper into it. You think about football and obviously the expectations that come with Northwest Missouri State football. Clearly at number 8, Northwest Missouri State volleyball is a program to be reckoned with in that regard. Then Mark Gordon has really kind of brought up that soccer program in the last 3 years, so it's exciting to see what they're doing. And of course, cross country, as Coach Masters said, they really don't take wins like that, but this weekend they'll go ahead and say they're 2-0 with that. So a great start, and excited to kind of see where things go from here.
Tell you, as far as Ryan Milkey's concerned here joining us, Ryan, your schedule's changed just a little bit this week, involved with a lot of promotions and things with football, and it's a little bit easier week than what you had planned.
Absolutely it is. It's kind of nice to kind of get a relax. We get to kind of enjoy Friday's Chip Strong golf outing with the men's basketball program, so that'll be good to kind of get out, meet some of our basketball donors, and kind of have a nice week off like that.
Well, you think about it, too, but we're so looking forward to Northwest Missouri State playing Lincoln, and it's the Thursday night, it's the home opener. Lincoln's football program is a little bit down compared to some others that you'll see around the MIAA, so you kind of expected Northwest to be able to come out and roll, but that is a little bit of a bummer to be able to take away one of those home games when they're limited this year.
It is. We're kind of looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a great turnout, at least for the first half. We're going to have quite a big crowd out there. A lot of students were excited to come to a game finally for the first time in 2 years. Had some T-shirts giveaways planned for that.
Back to family weekend.
Made the mistake of putting the date and the opponent on there, but I think we'll still give those away. I mean, it's still the home opener, I guess.
That makes it even more collector's items, though.
Right, it's like the game that never happened, so it's whatever.
Yeah, just an unfortunate set of circumstances there. But, again, we'll get to see the Bearcats play their first home football game coming up a little bit later on. I believe that's going to be September 25th.
I believe so, against UCO.
Against UCO, family weekend. So a little more time for Northwest Missouri State to get ready for the Central Missouri Mules, which might not be so good for the Mules. The Bearcats have 2 weeks to get ready for them now.
That's right. Northwest has done pretty well after a bye week when you look traditionally through the annals of Bearcat football. So I don't know if I'd want to be in UCM's shoes coming up here, especially after such a tough loss with Pittsburgh State, where they've got a chance to regroup for this week, obviously, and get some things going. But it should be an interesting game coming up.
It will, and it's a team you typically think about. A lot of points scored for Coach Sabota's offense. They struggled a little bit against Pittsburgh State. And of course, Northwest looked like kind of that typical Rich Wright defense against Fort Hays, giving up just 7 points against a good team on the other side, and Chance Fuller, a second-team all-MIAA quarterback. So a little extra time for the Bearcats to get ready for that one. But, Ryan, I mean, of course, you were in Hayes with us as well. Almost 2 years since those teams had played football. That was a high-level game, but also a relatively clean game for teams that hadn't played in quite a while, and it was week one.
Yeah, I was very surprised on how clean everything was. Not too many turnover mistakes that were made. I mean, a couple of drop passes here and there for both teams, but other than that, it was an absolutely amazing game to watch. Defenses were great. Mike Honesty did a great job punting the ball, getting tough field position for those Tigers, so it was a good time.
I guess, really, when you think about the downside of not playing Lincoln this week, the schedule for Northwest overall, not a lot of football games at home this season, the way things play. They only had 5 to begin with.
Mm-hmm. So 4 is a little bit tougher. We're still trying to figure out, you know, like the ticket revenue and all that stuff, and how if we're going to renew tickets or a refund and stuff like that. But we're waiting for Andy to get back, I think, from golf this week, and then we'll kind of start working with our ticket holders on that stuff. But I was looking forward to 5 games, but 4 games will work too.
Well, here's a wrinkle to throw into it, too, and of course, I'm not sure if any of us actually have the answer here sitting around the table. But you remove Lincoln from the schedule, and of course, they were going to struggle to win 1 or 2 games throughout this year. Your strength of schedule has to improve when it comes to the playoff push in late November, doesn't it, whenever you kind of go through and look at the rankings and, well, you don't bring it down because you didn't play this team, but it goes up because you played these other teams. So this theoretically could benefit Northwest football down the line, couldn't it?
I think so. I think it's a benefit. I mean, no offense to the Blue Tigers, but this kind of helps out our schedule a little bit, strength of schedule, helping with that playoff push, and hopefully we get a high seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know Coach Wright right now is disappointed they didn't have a game to prepare for and work on some things that he would have liked to work on for that. But down on the other hand, you had an extra week to prepare for UCM, and as you say, the strength of schedule has got to be a huge help. So I think there are definitely some benefits out of what took place.
You got to find the silver lining in all of it. That's all you can do at this point. For the home games that we do still have coming up, I know Military Appreciation Day, there's Family Weekend, there's Homecoming, Senior Day. Are there any other special promotions, things to look forward to within football, within Bearcat Volleyball coming up that Bearcat fans should keep their eyes peeled for?
Yeah, we're working on some different giveaways, especially for volleyball with us being in Hughes. I know we're working on some like T-shirt giveaway, some pizza giveaway, nights for like our students. Soccer, we'll do like the same thing, kind of like our pink out games. We'll have some T-shirt giveaways for that. Football game, I'm working with Jim at the student body to kind of see what other giveaways we can do for football games, for sure, to try to get some bigger crowds there. I know we're honoring a couple different people throughout the year. The men's basketball team, we're going to honor them at halftime of the homecoming game. Obviously, family weekend, we do the family of the year recognition, and then we'll have some other ones around like Rosie's tennis team, and we'll get a bunch of people recognized.
I think one thing that we'll absolutely expect to see is just huge crowds, just from the standpoint, didn't have any games last year. A lot of people are just wanting to get out and see some Bearcat football.
I agree. I think it'll be a packed house. Got some good home games coming up, especially that Pitt State game will be a big one. UCO for family weekend will be big. Homecoming is always a big game. We'll probably do some sort of trick-or-treating thing with the kids, get some of our other teams out there to kind of hand out some candy to the kids and make it kind of a big fun party, I guess.
Now, what are your thoughts on radio crews wearing costumes and collecting candy at these? Is that okay?
If you guys would like to, that'd be great. Get a nice picture of that. Put up on the video board.
That's a great idea. Let's make it happen.
It's an idea. I don't know how great that would be.
Broadcasting while wearing a mask. Well, I guess we've done that before.
Yeah, we got that out of the way last year. So
there you go.
All right, Ryan, thanks a lot for being with us and always out here on the show.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Assistant Athletic Director of Marketing Promotions at Northwest Missouri State, Ryan Mielke, helping out on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Always a great member of the Bearcat staff. Always great to have on our road trips as well. Occasionally brings some snacks for us, too. So he's an all-around member.
Yeah, yes, he is. Although he missed on the last trip with the snacks part. But
just looking forward to a shorter drive to Warrensburg than Hayes.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. I'd like to thank everyone involved with our show here this week from Pizza Ranch. Reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. We'll be back again next Tuesday with another update on Bearcat Fall Sports on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.